This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis riding out on old Dan once again, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. The old Trailblazer broadcast. I'm happy to be back with you folks. And, it's good to be with you there in your homes, in your automobile, your car, wherever you are. And, it's been good to have heard from many of you folks, passed through the storms that we have, and many of you have written and many of you have called me and tell me that you're praying for us. So those things are still with us, the Katrina and Rita, and the after effects are still here with us, but we're going on. The old Trailblazers are picking up the broadcast, picking up the message and going on, and after much delay maybe and much anxiety for things that we're having to do here at the old Trailblazer headquarters. So you pray for me. Will you do that? We're bringing you a series of studies on the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we have come now to the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. We were looking at the two witnesses and their preaching that set forth there in Revelation 5:12. These individuals are the witnesses of God. They're real people, not principles or practices as some folks would have you believe. Who they are, the scripture does not say. Remember, this is not a book of speculation, but no, it's God's book telling us those things that are going to come to pass. And so we're looking there. I want to kind of review just a minute. These facts that we have gone into in the past, they will occur. These things are not yet come to pass, but they will. This 11th chapter of Revelation will begin to take place at the middle of the tribulation period. Will cover a period of 3.5 years. I have no trouble believing God's Word. I don't know about you, but I just have no more sense than to believe God's Word, every jot, every tittle. Now, all right, let's take up the study there. Again, looking back at those two witnesses, the length of the time they preached, the second, God protected them, and how they were persecuted by the rank and file of humanity. Yes, they were persecuted. They were persecuted there. And in verse 7 it says, of chapter 11, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them. Now don't foo-foo the message, my friend. This is God's word I'm bringing you. Many deny the revelation of Jesus Christ. Many won't have it. Even preachers and pastors. I've talked to preachers. They say, oh, I can't go there. I can't understand. It's too hard. It's not for us to understand, but it is. These individuals, these two witnesses, were persecuted. The beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them. And then finally it says, he shall overcome them and kill them, but not until their ministry is finished. Pastor Shelton, who was our pastor here for many, many years, went through many trials, many tribulations, many rebellious groups attempted to put him out of the church and all of those things. And he said, he had a little statement he made, that there was no bullet formed or no knife tempered that could end his life until the Lord got through with him. And he didn't. He went on home to be with the Lord many years ago, but the Lord called him. No one took his life. The Lord called him. How the world rejoices when the beast finally triumphs over these two witnesses. The word is sent out, word to mouth, no doubt. The papers all over the world, the television, the radio, the satellite, blaring those headlines. The beast has overcome. The two witnesses are dead. All of those messages will be carried. The beast has killed the two witnesses, yes? Announcer after announcer will flash around the world. Do you know one of the things that's happening today, my friend? In the religious broadcasting world, many, many of our good sound gospel radio stations are being bought up and gobbled up by ungodly businessmen, and they're putting on these ungodly programs there, taking us off the air in many places. We were on a station in Texas for 25 years, and they took us off the air without any notice, said they'd gone to a new format, rock and roll and force. Those two things have taken over much of the radio broadcasting. Now, these announcers, those who are left, will announce These two troublers, these two witnesses, they're finally killed. These two witnesses are dead. Let everybody be merry. Let everybody be happy. But friend, it will be a tragic hour in the history of the world. You and I cannot understand. You and I cannot fathom all that this will mean. It is said here that their dead bodies will be left 3 days and 3.5 days unburied. They will be so hated until they will not allow their bodies to be buried. In the 10th verse, it said, "The earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and it shall send gifts one to another." What does that remind you of, my friend? Why? Because these two prophets now are dead. Here we see that they will make merry over murder. No doubt one great leader after another will send messages and gifts praising the Superman, the Beast, the Antichrist, because he finally got rid of these two tormentors. Oh, they'll say, "Where is your power now?" They will make merry. They will turn the earth into one drunken brawl. All restraint will be gone. The last vestige of God's witness on earth is blotted out. Man is seeing his heyday, and Satan is ruling the world. In that 9th verse, it says that people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, 3.5 days. No doubt someone will be there. All of the news media of the world now, you can have just any sort of tragedy, earthquake, airplane crash, hurricane, anything. And it seems like before the sun goes down, the earth, the media, the world in media is there with on-the-spot broadcasting, all sorts of people. There they'll be with the television flashing the scene over the entire earth. Men and women, boys and girls in their homes, in their places of business, in the saloon, in the hell holes of the world, girls in their home, all of those things will behold it on the screen while they drink and make merry and praise the Antichrist for destroying these two witnesses. Man has said in his heart, "No God, no God, I want no God but the God of my own choosing." We're going through a time now where individuals who seemingly are educated and smart and knowledgeable are taking issue with the courts now we trust in God in the Pledge of Allegiance. We can't say in trust in God on our coins and our dollar bills. They want to take that off now. All of those things, and I pray, and I ask you to pray for our legislators, that they will have backbone enough, our congressmen and our senators, that they will stand and take a stand against one or two atheists across the country, especially there in California. This man didn't want his girl, one child out of 700 to 800 in one school. They did away with the Pledge of Allegiance because this man had the audacity to say there is no God. But listen, these people will say the same thing. They say, "I want no God, but the God of my own choosing, the God of my own making." And this is the hour in which the God of heaven has withdrawn every word of testimony, and all restraint is taken off and left Satan in charge. Now, my friend, I can't paint that picture. I can't tell you how that's going to be. But in the midst of all this merrymaking, the 11th verse says, "The Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them." And then, in the 12th verse, we read, "And they ascended up into heaven in a cloud. Their enemies beheld them." In our next study, we're going to take up from there, because this is the ending of the second woe. It says, "Behold, the third woe cometh quickly." Do you ever read those verses where it says, "Woe, woe unto Bethsaida, woe unto Chorazin, woe unto thee, if Sodom and Gomorrah had heard the truth as you have." This is paraphrasing, of course. They would be standing today. But no, we won't do it. I ask you this morning, tonight, wherever you're hearing the old trailblazer, I know we're on different time, different date, but are you saved? Are you trusting the Lord? Can you look up right now and say, "I won't be here when those times come, Pastor. I know I won't be here," because when the Lord comes back for his own, he'll take us with him. He says, "The dead shall rise first, those in the graves." Now, I know that I don't have many people who believe what I say, what the Bible said. I know that. I know it's a losing battle as far as I'm concerned. But no, sir. No, sir. It's not a losing battle with the Lord. The Lord is on the throne. Did you know the Lord doesn't have to save you? The Lord doesn't have to give you the breath to breathe your next breath. All he has to do is to take a breath away from you. Your heart skipped 3 times. You'll be dead and in hell if you don't know the Lord. Listen, folks, I'm telling you what I know. We're living in perilous time. The Apostle Paul said, perilous times shall come. And I have folks tell me, well, we there now. You know, the stock market is rocking and rolling and things. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about these days. The perilous times shall come when men won't have God to rule over them, where men would rather have of their own way and have eat, drink, and be merry. And tomorrow we die. They don't care about dying. They say, well, we like a dog anyhow. When we die, we'll just go on to throw us on the side of the road and the buzzards pick us. No, that's not true, my friend. You have an everlasting soul. And the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And after that, the judgment. Did you know there's a judgment day coming, my friend? The Bible says, there the books will be open. The books will be open, and another book will be open. What is that book, you say? In heaven, at the great white throne judgment, wherever it's held, here on earth, there'll be a set of a record of everything that ever crossed your life. Oh, you say, that's impossible. No, not with the computers that we have today. They have computers now. When you go into the hospital, they scan your wrist and they with a little chip there and they can tell you if you've got high blood pressure, low blood pressure, whether you're diabetic or what, all of those things. It's almost worldwide already. It's coming. They hailed it as a great invention or a great discovery. But my friend, that's just leading up to the Antichrist. All of those things. And so there'll be a record there of your life in heaven. There'll be a record there, every deed that you ever did. If you know the Lord, you won't be there. No, you won't be there. Folks ask me, what is my hope? My hope is Christ. Not this world, not what I can accumulate or pile up here on this earth. Not my 401k if I had one. Not that. Those things are immaterial. The Bible says we just passing through. We're just tenors. We're not bound down to this world. Oh no, we're not God's child or not. I ask you. Thank God, my friend, I won't be here. I won't be here for those times. I won't be here. I don't know what heaven will be like. I don't know if we'll be able to see what's going on this earth or not. But did you know there'll be folks here who will be killed during the tribulation period because they won't take the mark of the beast? I'm telling you, my friend, this is a serious thing that we're talking about. I wish you'd get quiet there and remember when the trailblazer comes on the next time. And if you would, you write me. I have all of these messages in print. Pastor Shelton brought these messages 50 years ago, and I picked them up. I picked his studies up and gleaning from them, his notes, and then the Lord gives me that which to add to them. Things have changed a lot in those times. Oh, we see now the advance of those electronic things that we never knew about 50 years ago, and we see all of it working up to coming of the Lord. But we see all these things going to happen first. Those two witnesses, they killed them. The Antichrist killed them. And they lay there 3.5 days. And then the world saw them. Do you think they repented when they saw that? No. They repented not to give God the glory. But I tell you, folks, it's a gracious thing to be saved. It's the only thing in this life worthwhile. And I want to tell you what we're going to do in the next study. We're going to look at the anticipated kingdom of our blessed Lord. Does that whet your appetite at all? You say, well, old Tribulus, I don't believe what much you say. Well, my friend, it's the truth. It's God's word. I bring it to you just as it is, just as the Lord gives it to me. And I have no axe to grind with you. I love you. I love your soul. I know folks going out into eternity, lost, without hope, without God and without hope. And I stand by the casket of individuals who have no evidence, shown no evidence of knowing the Lord. But listen, would you do one thing for me? Would you write me? The old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Goodbye and God bless you.